We invite you now to return to your seats. Good to hear all this happy chatter this morning. I assure you that every one of these teenagers, even the ones that have done this multiple times, are very nervous this morning. So we ask that you extend grace to them as they share grace with you.
Today we will take a look at grace. Someone once penned grace as an acronym of God's riches at Christ's expense. This morning we will unpack that letter by letter. The youth will interpret the meaning of grace in various ways. We hope that you are able to grasp the power and magnitude of grace as you participate in worship with us.
Okay, time to start practice.
Yeah!
Let's go!
Give me a G!
G!
Give me an R!
R!
Give me an A!
A!
Give me a C!
C!
Give me an E!
E!
What's that spell?
Grassy!
Oh.
Guys, you gotta do it again.
Grassy?
Oh. One more time.
Rocky?
Obviously, you guys don't know what grace is.
Grace, my chains are gone. Here we go.
Please stand and join us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to
seated.
Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Titus 2:11 through 14, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us, redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
This morning, we explore grace together. As mentioned in the introduction, we will unpack it letter by letter, starting with G, for God. Who is God? Annetta will help us come to a greater understanding of God. However, there is always more to know about the splendor, depth, and mystery of who God is. We can read his word, which blurs us onto an image, all of who he is and claims to be. Once we employ our imagination when thinking about who God is, it becomes so apparent that we are only able to scratch the surface of his grandeur.
Hi. Oops, sorry. So 2020, or the year of good vision, is a very transitional time for me. I'm, of course, a senior at Richmond High School, which means I'm dealing with the end of everything. I just had my 18th birthday, and in the fall, I will be beginning college at Indiana University, Bloomington. All of these events are exciting, but also overwhelming and very daunting. The idea of moving away from home, my family, and friends, and having to reestablish myself in a new environment is a part of growing up, but it doesn't mean that I'm not filled with doubts and worries. However, as I begin to enter this new part of my life, I choose to believe that God is there for me and that he will guide me through all of these changes. The verse from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, is a very important verse for me, and it's on my planner for this year. This verse makes me feel secure because it reminds me that when I'm stressed and anxious, God has it under control. I have faith that he has the plans, and if I continue to act in his way with hard work and optimism, he will shape my life to be filled with glory and love. And through each challenging school day or troubling part of my life, I remember that God will always have my back and will lead me to a prosperous future. Because of this, I see my God as my shepherd, from Psalm 23, verse 11, that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But as shepherds look out for their sheep, God looks out for all humans. And I choose to believe that God also looks out for all animals, farm, domestic, or wild, because in his image, each animal is precious and valuable, like the sparrow. Through his guidance, I have been led to the purpose of protecting and fighting for those creatures who don't have a voice. And I know that God will use me to care for his beautiful creatures. I have already begun this important journey. For 6 years, I have been a vegetarian and have refused to kill any farm animals because of how much I ache for their suffering. And recently, I've been volunteering at Help the Animal Shelter here in Richmond to provide comfort for hundreds of lonely cats. And in a few short weeks, I will be traveling to Costa Rica to research and develop conservation of leatherback sea turtles. All of these experiences that I'm gathering will inevitably lead me to my greater purpose. And with God lighting my path, I know I will be able to accomplish all that I dream of. So just as God guided David through dark and challenging times in the chapter of Psalm, he will do that for each and every single one of us. Because as Pastor Joseph reminded us last Sunday, God loves you no matter your past failures. And he will guide you and help you travel through the treacherous journey that is life. Thank you.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are
waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are waymaker, miracle worker. darkness, my God, that is who you are.
If you will now please pray with me. Great and mighty God, we come to you corporately this morning, seeking an audience in your presence. We often cannot fathom why you want to know us better, yet you long for a relationship with us. You even had to sacrifice your son in order to make this relationship possible. We are allowed into your holiness and granted the opportunity to seek your grace. It is this grace that offers us a chance to become like you and grow closer to you. It is this grace that offers us the opportunity to ask of you those things which weigh us down so heavily. This morning, we seek your presence, comfort, guidance, and wisdom for all those requests that have been lifted up, whether spoken or unspoken. We know you have already promised to hear our cries and answer. May we be open to that which you offer to us, whether or not it is what we expect. Thank you for your grace and mercy and for teaching us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We move on to discuss the riches that God offers. Even though many have a small grasp on who God is, they will still ask, why do we need him or what he offers? What are the riches that are offered by him that we can never attain on our own? This would, of course, be a lengthy answer. However, we can from a few scriptures know what some of the most wonderful riches are. Listen as we hear but a few of the riches God offers his people.
We invite those who are reading scripture to now please stand where they are as Jonathan brings around a microphone.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are.
Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Psalm 72:12. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and for him who has no helper.
First John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus.
Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.
Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
Please join me as we corporately read this next scripture. I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Though the mountains shake and the hills be moved, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. We now take time to offer back to God a small portion of what he's graciously blessed us with. May we ever remember that his riches and his blessings are the only way that we are able to be provided for. So with humility, we offer these gifts.
I
next hymn is, you can remain seated for, it's green 3106, Your Grace is Enough. Let's see.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart.
Please join us.
So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And let your people sing along. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Heaven reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I see your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. For me.
We have dabbled with the idea of who God is and what riches he offers humanity. One of those riches is his son, Jesus. For many people, Jesus is just a great prophet from history, a social liberator of sorts, or just a really nice guy. In fact, Jesus even asks his disciples who they think he is. In Matthew chapter 16, we find this conversation. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by my Father in heaven. Unraveling all that Jesus is today would be impossible, but Dylan will give us some important aspects of Jesus as we can continue in our search of grace.
Well, good morning. Okay, so it's hard to live in America and not hear the name of Jesus. We have heard about him being born at Christmas time, heard of him performing miracles, heard his name used as a curse or frustration from something not going well. There are people who don't think he's real. There are people who believe he is real, but that he wasn't really all that important. Some think he was a good prophet. The list goes on. Most everyone you meet has an opinion of Jesus, whether positive or negative. Who do you say Jesus is? No, hold on, let me ask that again. Who do you say Jesus is? Perhaps you have taken time to answer that question for yourself, but perhaps not. At first glance, we think that the question is easy, but is it really? Jesus answers questions about himself throughout the gospel. Let's take a look at some of his answers together this morning. So in John 8, verse 12, he says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.' In John 10, verse 9, says, 'I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go out and find pasture.' In John 10, verse 11, says, 'I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life to the sheep.' In John 11, verse 25 and 26, it says, 'Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' And John 14, verse 6 says, 'Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.' John 15, verse 5 says, 'I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.' And then John 6, verse 3 says, 'And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.' These are just examples of Jesus directly addressing his identity with the I am statements. There are so many stories and other conversations Jesus had with the followers that describe him in even more detail. As we connect who Jesus is in our discussion on grace, we have to look who Christ is and why he was even able to pay the price for us. The Hebrew scriptures begin to proclaim him as a worthy before he is even born. The Messiah was prophesied as one who would come from the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, be rejected by his own people, suffer for others, be crucified with criminals, resurrect from the dead, and ascend to heaven. We read all of this coming to life in the Gospels. Jesus must be coming, Messiah promised. Jesus must be able to save us from our sins. Jesus must be who he claimed to be, right? Well, you and I both know that that is complicated. Many still do not believe that Jesus was anything more than a man who claimed he was God. Thousands of books have been written on both sides of this question. Some try to defend Jesus, others condemn him as a false. We certainly cannot solve this for you in a short amount of time, but I can tell you what Jesus has done for me. And this is my story. All right, so all of my life, I've heard about Jesus and how he saved me from all my sins and by dying on the cross for me. But all that time growing up, I knew what Jesus did for everyone else, but I didn't know what he did for me. It wasn't until a little under 2 years ago did I really learn who Jesus was to me. So a little under 2 years ago, I lost someone who was very, very close to me, my grandpa. This man was everything to me. We'd go watch Reds games, Colts games. We went watch NASCAR races. When I was, working on my license and stuff like that, he'd take me driving for long hours. And, he even bought me my first car. Anything that I needed, that man would sit there and make sure I had it. But the day I heard that he was in the hospital, and as I started to get rushed up, by my dad. I remember asking Jesus for help, like tons of it. I was just sitting there and just asking him constantly. The night I went and saw my grandpa, he passed away. That night, I just remember shutting everybody out. I didn't even want to talk to anyone. I just wanted to be alone. And then I sat there, and I sat there, and then I started to get mad at Jesus. I didn't understand why he had to take somebody so good for me away from me. I remember dwelling on that for a couple months. And for that couple months, I didn't do anything. I remember my grades were falling, and I didn't even go to youth group. But one night, out of the blue, I got a voice in my head that told me to go to youth group and to learn about our relationships with Jesus. While we were in Bible study, I wasn't really getting into it, so I just started roaming through the Bible, just doing my own thing. And I found this verse, and it changed the way I saw everything about this situation. The verse is Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear in their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The former things have passed away. I remember finding that and then realizing that everything happens for a reason. And that I needed to celebrate my grandpa's life instead of grieving in his passing. I also realized that Jesus' actions are the right actions, and everything he does is for the right reasons. So at that moment, I knew what Jesus was to me. He was my way maker, my first person to talk to. I trust in him to guide the rest of my life and be there for me when I need him the most, because he is such an awesome person and deserves to be called our king. Thank you.
There's some lying, some stealing, and a little acts of kindness here and there.
I try to live a good life.
Next, please.
Okay, I admit, I have done a lot of bad things, but I have done good things too. I mean, I go to church and youth group.
Okay, let's find out if that helps. Step on the scale, please.
But I don't understand. I give up a lot of Sundays.
Next.
Here you go.
Impressive.
Yes, sir. I devoted my entire life to making the world a better place. I was kind to everyone. I even gave blood regularly and coached a little kids team when I could have been hanging out with my friends. I gave all of my allowance to church and charities. I was even nice to my parents, and you know how annoying they can be.
Is this yours?
Oh, yes, but I only did that one time because my friends begged me, and I said I was sorry.
Okay, let's see.
But it was just one time, I promise.
My grandma goes to church every Sunday.
Next, please.
I was baptized as a baby. You take credit cards, right?
Wow! This is a big file. Somebody's been busy. Okay, let's get it over with. Step on the scale. Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. I didn't know he was with you. Okay, not you, him.
Woo! Ding, 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 ding.
Are you serious? It's not here. God's riches at Christ's expense. This has been our journey for today. We have discovered together parts of who God is, what his riches are, and who Jesus, his son, is. As we come to the end of our time together, we will finish with what expense Christ paid for grace to be possible. Many of us have heard the stories of Jesus, and some of us even allowed his story to become ours. Listen as Ava reminds us of what Christ has done for us, and perhaps open your mind to the grace offered by his sacrifice for you and for those you encounter.
We are fully aware of the cost of most things. In fact, talking or worrying about expenses often takes up much of our daily living. We debate about the price of things all the time. We complain about how much simple things cost and whether or not they are really worth our hard-earned money. So to turn our attention to what expense Christ paid for us is not that difficult. As we understand high prices all too well, what price did he pay for us? That's right, how much did he pay for you? Many of us have heard the story of what Jesus did for us hundreds of times. But do we really think about what it means? Do we really understand the price he paid just to be in a relationship with us? Someone willing to die for us is baffling. Are we really worth it? Surely not. Yet God asked Christ to pay the price for us nonetheless. And our unworthiness is actually the reason he did so. We could never do enough, have enough, give enough, or be enough to earn holiness before a holy God. It is impossible. 1 John 1:8 tells us that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And in Romans, Paul reminds, what shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. And it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away and become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. The darkness of who we really are is very evident. It doesn't take too long to look at our own lives in order to discover the ways in which we are not righteous. We cannot earn a spot in his kingdom. But God really wanted us to be with him, to be his children, to feel the depth of his love. So he found a way. He sent the perfect and final sacrifice, the lamb without blemish. Hebrews 4 tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way and yet did not sin. He was the only one to remain faithful to the Father. Because of his worthiness, he took on our sins so that we could be forgiven and cleansed. 2 Corinthians 5:21 proclaims that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. A way has been made. But why? Why would he do all this for us, for you? This brings us back to what we have been unfolding all morning, G-R-A-C-E, grace. Grace beyond our understanding, compassion, and mercy without merit. It makes no sense. How could God love us that much? Why would he want us to inherit his riches? Why would he even want us to be his children? This remains one of the greatest mysteries of God. We don't know why he loves us enough to make a way to be with him, but he did. That grace is a gift available to everyone. It is not reserved for the religious, the rich, the humble, the meager. It is for everyone. Have you accepted that gift of grace? Are you grateful for it? If so, do you share it with others so that they may experience the wonder of being loved unconditionally? As we go into a time of communion, we ask you that you reflect on what grace has meant for you. We remember what he did that we didn't earn so that we can. Begin to allow it to transform us into a people of grace. As Philip Yancey asks, how did Jesus, the only perfect person in history, manage to attract the notoriously imperfect? And what keeps us from following in his steps today?